escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Welcome back, folks. You know that on Tuesdays at 11 o'clock, we set aside a segment to talk to difference makers in our community, and they come to us in all kinds of different ways. And you will recall that I say that this is one of my favorite segments of the week because I've had the opportunity to learn so much about this place that we call home. And yes, we have some challenges, but we have a lot of successes, too. And we have people that really believe in our community and are out there trying to do the right thing, to improve upon it, to tell the story about our community, about the creation of our community, and where we hope to go in the future with our community. And today we have a very important guest. Daniel Hammers, the CEO of the Historic New Orleans Collection. And if you've not looked at their website and gain a better understanding of what it is that they do, you're missing out, because this is a little special thing that goes on in our city. I shouldn't say little because it's not, but it's a special thing in our city that goes on, and a lot of their exhibits are free. And it tells the story about the place you call home. So with that, Daniel, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Newell. Thank you for having me. Thanks for that wonderful introduction. I just want to start off by saying how much I appreciate the attention that you're paying to what we're doing and sharing it with your audience. So pleased to be here and have the opportunity to talk a little bit about, you know, our vision for the future of New Orleans, the things that we think the city can become if we're successful with our work to steward its history and culture and share it with the public. This place, New Orleans, is so rooted in what makes it special, from the distant past all the way to the present, all of the history, all of the culture that is rooted here and has spread around the world. And, you know, it's a great asset. And if we can take advantage of it, I think the sky's the limit for what good things can come from that for our city. So really appreciate you for giving us the opportunity to share some of that with the public, and for everything you do to raise awareness for what we're doing.
So, Daniel, you know, you guys have spent a lot of time. You have exhibits telling about the past, but y'all are now looking more to the future, right, and what opportunities there are and how we meet some of these challenges of the future. So talk to us about that work.
Sure. Well, you know, I think everything we do is future-oriented. At the heart of what we do is the stewardship of materials that relate to this place and what it is. And, you know, why do you even do that? You know, why collect documents and stories and histories at all, if not for the sake of posterity? You know, the whole thesis behind what we do is that generations in the future will benefit from the work we do today to document what this place is all about and what it has been in the past. And, you know, that's an eternal undertaking. You know, there is never an end to the opportunities that are out there to preserve proof of what has happened here, both in terms of documenting things as they are currently ongoing and collecting and caring for the documentation of what has happened in the past. And so that whole endeavor is all about the future and ensuring that the opportunity exists in the future to learn from what is now the present and what will then be the past. Specifically, you know, we think that there's a great deal of opportunity to help with the challenges of education that our community and all communities contend with. You know, we have resources in our holdings that can really serve the public in terms of being the things that people learn from, that kids learn from and adults learn from. And so we see our mission as being an educational one. It is an educational one. And then the other thing we do, which is so important for the future, is we provide engagement opportunities for people with things that matter. And we do that in the heart of the French Quarter. All of our buildings, we have 14 buildings here in the French Quarter, and they're all devoted to the work that we do of stewarding history and culture. And many of them are devoted to making that available to the public, either our research center where people can come and do research, or these days, more importantly, our museum facilities where people can come and engage with interesting and fun programs that showcase history and culture of this place. And I think we all know the French Quarter is a place that has a lot of tourists coming to it. And so we believe that if we can be a part of the experience for more and more tourists, it'll result in beneficial outcomes for the city in terms of what those tourists do while they're here and the way that that brings benefit to us economically and in terms of our quality of life.
Daniel, if you would, let's talk about education for a moment. I remember when, you know, coming up, I'm trying to remember what grade I was in, but I took Louisiana history. We had to take Louisiana history. We spent a lot of time talking about, you know, the Louisiana Purchase, the creation of the city of New Orleans, how that came about. Is that still done in schools today? Do you know?
Yeah, that's still done. It's done mostly in the fourth grade and in the eighth grade. And then there's a lot of teaching about local history that takes place in high school as well, in various types of history classes. And so we have resources that help assist in teaching that history. You know, we do teacher trainings. We produce lesson plans and curricula so that teachers in their classrooms can benefit from our knowledge and our resources to teach those core lessons, particularly in the fourth and the eighth grade and again in high school. There's also a lot of teaching about local history and culture that goes on in the college level here in New Orleans. You know, we have a lot of great universities here. We have HBCUs. There's three of them in New Orleans, as well as other colleges and universities. And so all of them teach classes in New Orleans history and culture. And we engage a lot with those professors and those students as well.
I love the collection that y'all have of maps over the years. And I remember looking at maps and as the city developed and in the aftermath of Katrina, and then, you know, kind of looked at an overlay. I think it was in NOLA.com or something, and they may have gotten a lot of the information from you guys. I'm sure they did. Those folks back then knew something that we didn't pay attention to, right? I mean, it was absolutely amazing, you know, how you can connect the future to the past, and maybe the past knew some things that we probably should have followed.
Well, you're right about that, and there's some there's a great example of that that I can think of. I used to work in the reading room here, so we have a reading room here at our research center at 410 Charter Street. It's open to the public. It's where people can come to access our collections for their research, whatever they may be interested in. And I think, I don't remember what year it was, Newell, maybe 10 years ago or so, maybe more, they were redeveloping the St. Thomas project after Katrina. You know, they tore down almost all of the original buildings that were there, and they replaced them with new buildings. It was a HUD program. And so, like any federally funded undertaking that deals with buildings that are older than 50 years old, it had to go through a historic review process according to the National Historic Preservation Act. And so in the course of that project, people became aware that St. Louis Cemetery Number 1 in the past was bigger than it had been. And they became aware of this because it was brought to the table by community consultants, so consulting parties, people in the community who got involved in the process through the Historic Preservation Act review, brought to the attention of the developers this fact from history that the cemetery is once bigger than it is now. And the reason they knew this is because if you look at maps, you can see it. It's clear as day. It's not like this was hidden knowledge. It's documented over the course of decades and decades in many different various maps. And the results of this information were transformative for the project. They had to change their plans extensively. And in fact, when you drive down Basin Street today, you see that there's still one original building from the St. Thomas housing project that's still there. And the reason for that is because if they had torn down that building, they wouldn't have been able to rebuild anything because Louisiana law prohibits construction on a site that has human remains that was once a cemetery. And so you can, if there's a building on a site that was once a cemetery, you can use it. But if you want to change that building, you know, you can't do that in a significant way. You can't tear it down and build something else.
Right.
Because once you tear down a building that was on a cemetery, you can't put something back in its place. And so I just thought that was, there was one of the news channels, local news channels, came to the research center and asked to see some of the maps, and they did a story about this. And I was just really struck by how this, this knowledge that is, you know, there, clear as day, not hidden from anyone, documented on these maps, that the people who were designing this project were completely unaware of it. It was, you know, all you have to do is look into the records and see what's there.
So, Daniel, a lot, you guys have set out on a capital improvement program, I think somewhere around $60 million or such. What's next for you guys?
Yeah, so going back to 2019 and from there forward until 2028, we will have invested over $60 million in the capital improvement of our historic buildings in the 500 block of Royal Street. So our museum facility at 520 Royal, a lot of your listeners will know it as the old WDSU building or Brulatour Courtyard building. This is where our major exhibition spaces are currently located. We have a shop there, a cafe there, all of that type of stuff. That building we opened in 2019, and that was a approximately $30 to $35 million project to renovate that building and also build a purpose-built exhibition center in the rear of that property behind the courtyard. Currently, we're undertaking a similarly major renovation of the buildings directly across the street from there at 533 Royal Street, which are the original buildings of our institution. They are the buildings that our founders, Kemper and Lila Williams, purchased in 1938, and that when they passed away, they left to form the nucleus of a museum called the Historic New Orleans Collection, which would be open to the public. And so, you know, since we opened in the early 1970s, following their deaths, we've expanded a lot and acquired new buildings and moved different aspects of our operation into them. And now for the first time, we're turning our attention back to those original buildings. It's a group of seven buildings around five courtyards that face on Royal Street at 533 and also go around in kind of an L-shaped form to face on Toulouse Street as well. And that renovation project is also approximately $30 million worth of work. So the two together constitute a $60-plus million investment in a world-class museum in the heart of the French Quarter.
I'm kind of curious for you guys. Do you get the sense that we don't really appreciate how unique historically this city is? And that it's one of the oldest cities in the country?
That's a good question. I don't think there's a lack of appreciation for it in our community. I think we are all really proud of how special New Orleans is. And for a lot of us, that specialness is related to the history, how old it is, how long the culture that we live and that we create has been around. I think a lot of New Orleanians consider themselves to be the inheritors of a historic culture and proudly, you know, own that and express it in their lives. What I think we don't do well or don't do as well as we could do is take advantage of that for our own benefit. I think that we have historically, certainly for the last 100 years or so, sold that commodity a bit too cheaply, and that we haven't done enough to come together as a community and strategically envision how we can use this asset, which is our history and culture, which is remarkably well preserved, by the way, in our city in many forms, how we can best use it to our advantage, to take advantage of the worldwide interest in it, to build a city that works for us. The French Quarter is really an attraction of amazing fortitude. I mean, there are not many places in the world that have as many visitors per year as the French Quarter of New Orleans has. I think the conventional wisdom is that about 90% of all visitors to New Orleans come to the French Quarter. So we're talking about 90% of about 19 million people a year, according to New Orleans and Company's numbers, which, you know, as I look out my window here on Charter Street for my office, I can tell you it's a very realistic number. There's a lot of people walking around at all times out here. And so, you know, the quarter represents an incredible opportunity to take advantage of that interest for our own benefit. The problem is that the reason people come to New Orleans isn't specifically the French Quarter. The French Quarter is just kind of the symbol of why they come. The real reason they come is the culture. New Orleans' tourism is cultural tourism. And culture is created by people. I mean, that's the definition of culture. It's a human product. Just like the French Quarter was built by people, our entire culture was created by people. And so the people who come visit New Orleans by the millions from all over the country and the world, they're looking to connect with that culture. And yet we've allowed the French Quarter to become a place that is less and less connected with the people of the place, less and less of relevance and value and interest, and less and less accessible to the people who call New Orleans home. And we see in this a real problem, that if the quarter doesn't somehow reestablish its connection with the people of New Orleans, reestablish relevancy with the people of New Orleans, it could have, over time, and maybe not that long time, catastrophic impact on the tourism industry and the opportunity to turn the interest from around the world into our benefit. Because the tourists may do dumb stuff from time to time. They may not always behave well, but, you know, they're not dumb. Nobody is really stupid out there. And so, you know, they won't continue to be interested in coming if their visit here doesn't connect them with the culture in the way that they're expecting. And so I think we really need to take care in New Orleans to pay attention to the quarter and its connectivity with the local population. And the pathway to that is through cultural heritage preservation. You know, like I said, we see ourselves as inheritors and owners of our culture. And so I think all New Orleanians really value cultural heritage in their lives. And so if we can take advantage of that, place that value in the quarter, give people a reason to come to the quarter, to engage in the quarter for the purpose of living their cultural heritage, learning from their cultural heritage, giving their kids an opportunity, place where they can take a field trip or educational experience to learn about their own history and culture. You know, that will in turn have a really beneficial impact on the way to on the sustainability of our tourism industry.
Yeah.
So that's what we're trying to do. We're building a major museum here in the French Quarter, not because we want our tourists to have great museum experiences, but because great museum experiences are valuable for both the tourists and us at the same time. You can have in a museum gallery a group of, you know, people from Topeka, Kansas, who are all taking a Viking cruise down the river together, and a group of kids from a local elementary school standing in the same room at the same time, looking at the same things on the wall and having equally positive experiences.
That is no doubt, and that is so well articulated about why this is important. Thank you so much for all that you guys do. Daniel Hammer, CEO of the Historic New Orleans Collection. Folks, I'll remind you of one thing, too. When you go to visit their exhibits, they're free.
There you go.
It's amazing.
they
are free. I mean, and you're going to have an experience second to none. And I suspect that if you go once, you're going to go a second and third time. There's no doubt in my mind. Daniel Hammer, thank you again. Truly appreciate it. Have a great week.
Thank you so much, Earl. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Welcome back, folks. We're joined by Mike Strain, Commissioner of the Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Mike, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. How have you been?
Been doing well. I mean, I hope you're doing well as well and staying cool during this hot summer, which I'm sure is is causing a lot of challenges for a lot of the folks you interact with.
It is. It really is. And that was a very good article in the Wall Street Journal today talking about how heat is affecting short-term commodity and food prices across the world. And so we're all very concerned. If it gets too hot, it does have a negative effect, even if the weather is beautiful, on our crops. If it gets too hot on the rice, we don't get good germination of our rice. It affects fertilization. If it gets too hot at the wrong time on our soybeans, we have beautiful plants, but no beans. And so it can affect each crop differently, as well as livestock. When it gets too hot for livestock, well, they simply go into a more of an inactive, role. They don't reproduce as well. So it has a lot of effects. The main thing we have to be careful, you and I and everyone else that's out there, because you can get overheated really quickly before you know it.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Wanted to talk to you about the new laws relative to labeling as it relates to foreign products, whether it's shrimp, crawfish, other types of seafood that folks are advertising as Louisiana homegrown.
Yes. And, we've been working on these laws, for several years. And when you go back to the particular labeling laws, those that are, quote, could be confused as to Louisiana origin, that's Act 148, Senate Bill 166 by Senator Connick, Alon, and Fezzi. And when you look at that, it's very specific on what we are charged with. And we've been very busy enforcing it. The enforcement went into effect in January because, and again, the bill went into effect in August, but it set a January date. And the bottom line is that there's a package of imported seafood, and it's designed such that you think it is of local Louisiana origin, then under the Office of Weights and Measures, we investigate it, and then our inspectors bring it to my attention. It's under the Office of Weights and Measures, but ultimately it comes to my desk. And then looking at that, and if it does appear that it is misleading, then they have to have put on the front in 30-point font the country of origin of where the product is. So it cannot be confusing. And so phrases such as Boudreaux's or Gulf or Louisiana caught, et cetera, and if they use that, and then they're going to have to put on the front of the package, clearly, 30-point font, country of origin. In other words, whether it's China, India, Vietnam, or whatever. And so far, we have done 458 different product inspections, because then we inspect them, generally at the retail level. We've issued 21 stop orders, and which means that product cannot move until it is corrected. So they have the options to take it off the shelf and dispose of it, or we will allow them to relabel. When the law passed, we met with a number of the different entities that process seafood, and they knew they had 6 months to use up the inventory they had. Now, most of these stop orders are for product that's generally 1 to 3 years old that's sitting in a shelf somewhere. But we have our inspectors, our field inspectors, our weights and measures inspectors, along with their other duties, they are checking all of the counters. Some things, for instance, if you have a picture of Louisiana scene over a case that contains seafood, you got shrimp boats on there, and it's a Louisiana scene, but everything in that counter is imported. That's a violation as well.
Mike, so a lot of folks. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, the bottom line is that what's in the package, right, has got to be clear on the front, and so people are entitled to know what they're eating, and you can't disguise an imported product as a Louisiana product. Now, most of the companies, with limited exceptions, have been, fine with adhering to the law, because, they got one shot at it. We do a stop sale and said you have to correct it. But after that, the fines are very specific. The next offense is $15,000. The one after that is $25,000. And the one after that is a $50,000 fine. And so far, we have not had to fine anyone because they recognize what they have to do. And they comply.
A lot of folks, Mike, and I know you'll know the answer to this question. How is it that we can import seafood, transport it? It's got to be transported in either either a refrigerated state or a freezer state, more often than not a freezer state, to this country, process it, and still sell that product cheaper than, because the price that we're getting at the dock for shrimp is pretty damn low.
Brutal. It's brutal. And well, and the other thing, it's brutally low, you know, and you know, you can see at the dock $1 to $2 a pound. I mean, that is brutal. That's below cost. And so what has happened is that over time, many of these entities, it's become convenient to bring in this frozen shrimp in these containers and then either, you know, either repackage it, commingle it, you know, thaw it, do whatever they're going to do with it. And so it's just become easy for them to do that. And they become accustomed to it versus, you know, buying our shrimp in season. And, you know, people accepted that, I guess, and that really hurt our seafood industry dramatically. And if you look at imported seafood, say, from India, well, that's grown on these large farms, and the laborers, the people that work, you know, in these facilities that process this shrimp, they are paid, you know, a couple of dollars a day. That's right, not an hour, a day. And so it is just, and then you have the, you know, the Indian government and other entities that will back subsidize these products and dump them on the American market. And so it's an unfair, it's not a fair, you know, playing field. And so, you know, one is commodity dumping, but also you have, you know, government subsidizing, you know, those farms, and they are not, you know, necessarily from their gulfs, but they are from, you know, just brackish water or these ponds or lakes. And so when you look at that, we can compete with anyone head on, but we've got to get people back to buying our shrimp. They're a premium product. They're, you know, they taste better. They're safe. And so for a long time, you know, our shrimping industry was basically allowed to die on the vine. And now they're having to sell their boats. And look, we're going to have to fight hard to bring this industry back. You remember at one time the shrimping industry was, you know, it was king of the hill. And so, mm-hmm. you know, economically, you know, the shrimping industry is now, you know, the Louisiana shrimping industry is under probably $50 million a year, whereas our crawfish industry is pushing $300 million a year. And so, you know, we've got to work and do similar things with the shrimp industry as we've done with the crawfish industry. You know, you are not, you will never go and buy Chinese crawfish, bring them home and boil them. And I know you're just not going to do it. And if you know, you're not going to, you know, eat an imported, you know, crawfish. But people have gotten accustomed to, and the restaurants accustomed to, and not all of them, but some of them, selling these imported products. And we really need now to make sure everyone knows, because that's the thing. When the consumer goes to that counter, they have a right to know where that product is. And so we're also right. working not only with just like frozen seafood, but also that which has been then processed into some type of product. And on that product, they make that, you know, they have that product where you think it's a Louisiana or you think it's USA, and you buy that product, a pre-cooked type product, then you find out that it's imported seafood. So on those particular products, we look at those and they have to label them on the front. And what the companies would tell you, well, look, we don't want to put that label on the front. Well, why not? Well, people won't buy it. I said, well, that's their choice. And so consumers, that's why we tell everybody, ask before you eat, where does this seafood come from? Consumers make a choice, you know, and then when they go to the restaurants or they go to the stores, they will, you know, choose that Louisiana product wherever it is available.
We're visiting with Mike Strain, Commissioner of the Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Mike, does pasteurization play a role in what's happening in the markets today?
Well, you have some discussion about pasteurization of oysters. It's done on a limited basis. Our oysters are very good and very clean. What you see with the shrimp, they are generally, they are flash frozen. Some of them may be pre-cooked, but by and large, no, they are not pasteurized. And so, you know, some of these products come in frozen, they are thawed, then they're put into a product, then that product is frozen again, and it'll say on the label, do not thaw. In other words, cook it in that pack as it is. You got to cook it from the frozen state because it's already been thawed one time. And so there's that freeze-thaw cycle, because you're not going to get any fresh imported seafood. It's going to be frozen. And then it's got to be thawed and cooked, or thawed and cooked into a product, then frozen again. And so that's why, you know, it doesn't have the texture or the flavor. And you can tell, you know, you can tell in a minute when this, when you've got these products that have been, you know, frozen and thawed several times.
Yeah, I was involved in a conversation the other day with someone who was telling me that lobster meat now is there's a big market with pasteurized lobster meat, and I was kind of it caught me off guard. I'd not heard of that before.
So they would they would probably harvest it, steam it, or you know, a steam pasteurization. If you look at different levels of pasteurization. Pasteurization, you know, brings it generally up to 212 degrees for, you know, a short period of time, and that is to markedly decrease, not eliminate, any bacteria that might be present. Then more than likely, they're moving that as a, quote, a fresh pasteurized product, trying to buy more shelf life because it has been pasteurized. And so it would minimally probably affect any flavor that would be there. But so when you're buying it, quote, and if you look at it, it's not frozen. It's in that fresh package, but it has been heat treated, you know, to a certain degree.
So 458 inspections been conducted, 21 stop orders so far.
That's right. And we're also doing antibiotic testing as well.
Right. And fortunately, you've not had to impose a fine, which means you've got people's attention, which
is
a good
thing. Well, that's the purpose. That's the purpose of the law. If you remember a number of years ago, we were put in charge of labeling on different food products. For instance, cauliflower rice. There's no such thing. There's rice cauliflower, but there's no cauliflower rice. Or that whatever's in a package got to be on the label. And the companies quickly change what they're doing to be in compliance. And that is the general purpose of this, to get them into compliance. And then, you know, so that the consumer knows what they're getting.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for all the work that you do. People don't realize the breadth and depth of the authority that the commissioner of the Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry is involved in. I don't know how you keep up with it.
Well,
you must stay up late at night.
Very good team. A very good team. But just about anything you buy, sell, or consume, we touch.
You touch. That's Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Have a great week, Mike. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll be right back, folks.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Stay with us. I don't know about you folks, but I always appreciate when Mike Strain comes on air with me, Commissioner of the Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. They are involved in so many different things, and they really take it seriously. He does. He works hard at it. His staff works hard at it. You know, Louisiana, under his leadership and others, Billy Nungess has been involved in this as well as the lieutenant governor and many, many other folks, too. Relative to the preservation of our shrimping and crawfish industry here, how important it is as it relates to this labeling issue. And more states are really copying what we're doing here in Louisiana. In fact, very recently there was an editorial done by NOLA.com outlining that, I think it was last week, that Alabama's done some of the same things that we've done here in Louisiana, as well as Mississippi and Texas. And they made the observation that hopefully this goes national, and they're right. It needs to go national, and that's how we protect ourselves from these foreign products coming in, undercutting our workers, our industries that are so very important to what we do. I mean, when you think about coastal restoration, preservation of so much in the coastal areas of our state, a lot of it is about our seafood industry and preserving a way of life, preserving the habitat for this marine life that we've grown to enjoy over the years, that we know that in generations to come, it's going to be there. Well, we don't want to give it away, right? To the foreign markets, we want to make sure that what we produce here, we eat here, and we make sure that we're able to create that landscape that develops the longevity of this industry staying around for our kids and our kids' kids. And it's very important that we do what we can do as consumers, is educate ourselves and simply ask the question, is this a Louisiana product that I'm eating? Don't pawn it off as Louisiana product or domestic product if it's not, right? It's in our best interest. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Nicholas Gernon, the NOPD deputy superintendent. He oversees NOPD detectives that includes a team of cold case investigators, and they're able to do this as a result of the drop in the murder rate and other violent crimes. So we'll talk about that, as well as visit with Arnie Filko, former CEO of the Jewish Federation of Greater New Orleans. He just returns from 5 days in Ukraine. We'll find out what he saw there, as well as Melinda Herring, senior advisor at RASM.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.